Do appreciate the music. Take your Bibles and go ahead and get to Titus in the New Testament. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Small book near the end of the New Testament. Titus chapter 2 will be in just a second. And hopefully you're able to pick up a sermon outline to kind of help you follow. It'll be up on the screen too. Just the main points. Also, do not forget to pick up your community groups. I've noticed that we've had a lot of those leftovers. I don't know if people have just quit or aren't going to group anymore or what, but don't forget to pick up your group papers back there, which is a great Bible study time for you through the week. Even if you don't attend a group, we make plenty, so be sure to pick those up. Those are questions related to the message today that will kind of help you to be in the Word through the week. So, for those of you who are visiting today, we welcome you. We're glad that you are here. I trust God will bless your heart today. But we have been doing in the summer just a series. We gave the congregation an opportunity to turn in questions. We have just a couple of more of those to do. And so each week of the last few weeks, I've just been answering questions that you all have turned in. And so we're still in that today. And I have to make a title for these that will fit on the website. And so the questions are kind of long, but today's question I've entitled, Is There Retirement for a Disciple of Jesus? And hopefully I nailed it. But let me begin by just reading the question that was turned in. Here's the question for today. When I was first saved, I couldn't do enough, I thought, for the Lord, but I wonder sometimes if it wasn't really being done for the pastor. That wouldn't have been me. Anyway, I was studying, serving, etc. At that time, I kept thinking, I don't want to lose this first love. I feel that I don't have that energy or that first love anymore. However, it is more of an inward knowing this rather than outwardly doing so much. I want to get back this desire to study more and to be able to share more. I don't want to fail God. How do I get fired up again? And is that a terrible way to put it? This may not be sermon material, but it is my concern for my life at this point in my life. My body doesn't want to cooperate with what I desire to do, and I have to learn to deal with that and hope others understand that, but I'm sure that God understands. Well, there's a lot going on in that question, all right? So I hope you brought your sack lunch and your sack supper and your sack late night snack. But hopefully I've been able to dwindle it down. And I hope I was able to grab the heart of the question. And if I missed it, the person who turned this in can send me an email and say, you missed it, all right? But I don't think I missed it. But there is a lot going on there. And it's a great question to ask. And this was turned in, obviously, from some of the things in the question by somebody that's a little older. And it's a great question. So today we're going to talk about old people. And I said that, oh, I can't say that because I was told I talk about that too much. So anyway, I almost did it. But I think it's not just for older people, but it's also for younger people. So if you don't think you're old today, don't just fall asleep. Hey, I get a pass on this when I'm going to take a nap before the whatever you're going to watch today on TV or what are you going to do this afternoon. Because it definitely applies to younger people as well. Because do you know what determines who you are when you get older? Who you are when you're younger, right? Don't be a sourpuss when you're younger and expect that when you get to be 65 and 70 that you're going to be this joyful, dignified, wonderful saint of God. Chances are it's not going to happen. There, I got the young crowd on the plane. But I thought of some other questions related to this question. Just listen to these. Who are we really serving? Is emotion and feeling what we base our discipleship on? What do we do if we don't feel what we used to feel spiritually? Is obedience hypocritical if we don't have great emotion with it? Does our obedience always have to have great emotion? Do emotions and feelings change as we grow deeper in our faith? What do I do when my body ages and I can't do for God what I used to do? Does God have a place for me at every age, or when I get older, am I placed on the shelf? We don't need you anymore. How do I handle it when my heart wants to serve God in a certain way, but my body and maybe even my mind won't cooperate? Anybody have that problem? Your body wants to do something, your mind thinks it can do it, and your body says, hey, doofus, I'm not 27 anymore. Am I failing God when I can't do what I used to do in His service? Am I ordering my life that I do continue to grow spiritually even when I am growing older? Am I ordering my life as a younger person so that when I grow older, I will be able to serve God in the manner He has given me at that time? And with all the questions you've turned in, I could have made each one of them probably a 4 or 5 week series. So thanks a lot. So if the message goes an hour, guess whose fault it is? There you go. But I kept thinking of Titus 2 when I heard of all these things in this question. We're going to go through a few of these verses in Titus 2, verses 1 to 5, and then make some applications that hopefully I'll be able to answer some of these questions. But in Titus chapter 1, Paul gives Titus the responsibility. He left him in this godless city in verse 5 of chapter 1 called Crete. And he says here that I want you to ordain elders in every town as I directed you. So this elder Titus was left in this evil town of Crete to find godly men to lead the disciples of Jesus. So he is to do this in Crete and other towns, appoint elders to lead and to train and to teach people how to live for Jesus. Therefore, in verses 10 to 16 of chapter 1, he gives qualifications for elders. Here is how you are to live if you are an elder. This is how you are to order your life. And he also gives them instructions how to fight off the false teachers in this town. In fact, notice how bad this is in verse 16 of chapter 1. These people profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. And I think verse 16 describes many, many people who claim to know Jesus as their Savior. They say they know God, but they deny Him. They never do a thing for Him. They never open their Bible. They never pray. They have no desire to serve and walk with Jesus. But I know God. That is a scary place to be. And Titus is called to train these men to teach people to avoid this terrible condition in verse 16 that the false teachers are living and trying to get these people to live in. So that leads us into chapter 2. Now remember, chapter divisions are bad, because it makes your mind think, oh, a new thing's coming. Take out your chapter 2. It's just continuing. You train up elders. You teach. Don't be like the false teachers. Verse 1, but as for you, Titus, you teach what accords to sound doctrine. You hold on to what is healthy teaching. You teach truth that'll raise up some godly, strong people in this wicked town of Crete and these other wicked places that you're going to. You be used to make disciples of Jesus. Teach what's healthy. I appreciate Amanda, who has done a lot of study in food and nutrition and the effects of what we put in our bodies. So if you're eating, you don't want Amanda to be near you, all right? Because she can tell you, which is really fascinating to realize how powerful it is, the connection between what you put in your body and what happens to your body. So I do appreciate that study, although, or what she's done in that study, but whenever I put M&Ms in my mouth, I try to forget Amanda, all right? You know. But that's what Paul is saying here. Put inside people what is healthy. What will change you? What will protect you from losing your first love? What will protect you from an eternity separated from God? And also notice in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 2, this is an instruction in the middle of these instructions to these different people to the elders. So elders at Living Hope, listen up. This is for me and this is for you. Verse 7, you show yourself, Titus, in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity and dignity and healthy, sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent of the gospel, we might add, may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Titus, you are called to live a little bit higher than everybody else. Not that you are higher. You are, and I as elders are to be shining examples to these sheep around us. That's what God has called us to do. And if God is raising you up maybe to be an elder, that's what God has called you to do. So now we've got this charge to Titus. But notice in this chapter, Paul gives us five people. We're only going to look at two today. We're going to look at God's design for the older men and God's design for the older women. But we will see the younger men and the younger women in that as well. So first of all, let's just dive into this. First of all, God's design for older men. So let me ask you this. Is that you today? No one's going to raise their hand, right? This is God's design for older men, as Titus was to go into this church and teach them. It's interesting, in the book of Philemon, Paul called himself an old man. I, an old man, encourage you, Philemon, to accept Onesimus, the slave who sinned against you. Many scholars believe that Paul was probably 60. Now, we live longer now than they used to. So today, if you are 60, you're an old man, all right? I got 7 years before I turn old. Now, maybe in our culture, 70, but you get the idea. So he says, look at verse 2. Well, let me just read 1 and 2. But as for you, Titus, teach what accords with sound, healthy doctrine. Doctrine just means teaching. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in steadfastness. These are instructions that Titus is to teach, but they are also instructions for you who consider yourselves to be older men and who are getting there. This is how you are to live. There is no retirement as a disciple of Jesus. Period, dot, none. Now, it changes, we'll talk about here in a minute. But look at these things here. He says, first of all, be sober-minded. You teach the older men in the church to be sober-minded, free from the control of intoxicants, the excess of wine and drugs and so forth. And we live in a intoxicant society, do we not? It means to be watchful, to be careful in all areas of conduct, to have a clarity of mind, as much as the older men can muster up a clarity of the mind. This is how you are to be. Next, he says in the ESV, be dignified. This is, have a seriousness of purpose. Be honorable. A few weeks ago, I did a funeral of a veteran. And it was that the funeral home had bought this brand new funeral coach. Beautiful Cadillac. And on the side, it had an oval window where you could look inside the back of it. And they had the flag draped over the casket. And inside the coach were these little lights that shine down. And when they pushed that casket in there and shut the door, I was standing to the side and I just looked in there and I could see the little light shining on the casket through that beautiful oval window with that American flag. It just was, wow. Goose, it was presidential, I called it. That's what this word means. Older men, you are to be honorable. This doesn't mean to die and be in a casket, all right? But be honorable, all right? It's just, there's just something about you that should be dignified, honorable. You shouldn't walk into the church and spit your chewing tobacco in one of the seats, all right? Or whatever it is. Be dignified. Be honorable. Have a purpose in your life. Oh, no, I'm retired from my job and I can do whatever I want. Wrong. God calls for the older men to have a spiritual purpose in their life. And shame on churches who don't allow older men to be an active part. Next, he says, older men, you teach older men to be self-controlled. Control yourself. Don't we always say that to the little kids? You control yourself when we go over there tonight. Right? Oh, no, they're acting out. Isn't it amazing? God says to the older men, control yourself. Because as we get older, we may let our guard down a little bit, right? You know what? I'm old. I'm dying soon. Whatever. You know. Be self-controlled. One man put it this way. This describes a man who does not command himself, but rather is commanded by God. It is a sound and safe inner outlook that regulates outward behavior. Next, he says, be sound in faith, sound in love, sound in steadfastness. You as older men are to be strong in these things. Faith here is not necessarily trusting God, but the faith of doctrine and truth. Well, I'm older now. I don't need to know the God's word. I don't need to study. Oh, you may need it more than ever, right? You are to be healthy in truth and healthy in love. When I was a kid, you know what I thought of old people? Well, hey, they were old, right? I thought they were all mean, except for my grandparents. When I went into church, I just thought older people were mean. Because you know what most of the only thing they said to me? Stop running. Right? That's it. I thought that stop running was the first commandment. Thou shalt not run in church. It seemed like that's all I ever heard. Stop running. Stop running. Stop running. Yeah. It's just true. Right? That touched a nerve, right? Yeah. Now, as I got a little bit older, then I kind of got a different picture. But when I was real little, I just thought most older people, no, you be healthy in love. God never lets you stop loving no matter how old you get. You should increase in your love. And steadfastness, that simply means faithfulness. You are never to quit. Hey, I'm older now, I'm just going to quit. No! Titus, teach the older men to be sound and healthy. Never retire spiritually. I wrote it like this. Older men, you are to be the rock. Isn't there an actor called The Rock? Yeah. Oh, hey, Maggie goes, oh, yeah. Okay. In fact, I really like it when my wife sees me and she goes, you're The Rock. No, she never does that. Okay. Never does that. I want her to, that's right. Sometimes I carry a big rock around the house, but it just doesn't work. She says, what do you got that rock for? Never mind. But older men, listen to this. In God's church, you're to be the rock. You are to be the dependable, the wise, the trustworthy, the spiritually mature. And we'll find out in a little bit why. You're also to be the joyful. Now, when you tell the kids to stop running, just have a smile on your face. Hey, I love you. And if you don't stop running, I'm going to trip you the next time you walk through. If you do it with a smile, it's awesome. God is never done with you. In fact, in 2 Timothy 2:2, here's what it says. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust that to faithful men so that they can teach others. And I think this is the same spirit, though Titus doesn't mention that. He does with the older women. But I think, just like the older women, that God calls for our older men to teach us younger men. Yes, I called myself younger, right? Although I'm starting to get in that age where I'm older. That's what God calls you to do. Teach, teach, teach. A few weeks ago, I watched a documentary on the television of D-Day back in the 40s. And what they did was, and there's not many surviving World War II veterans around anymore. There's just not many. So they got four or five of these guys who were there on the beaches of Normandy, and they just set them around a kitchen table, and they were talking. And they showed footage, while they were talking, and then they'd come back to them, and I just sat there mesmerized. And it was amazing to listen to these men talk, to watch them cry. That was 60-some years ago. And to listen to them just share their hearts. Here were older men, here was a younger man being taught by the older men. So I got to thinking, What did those men teach me? We were not in a classroom. They were not behind a pulpit. They didn't have a tie on or a microphone on. They had no speaking skills whatsoever. But listen to what I thought of what I learned by watching those four or five men. They taught me courage, faith, loyalty, sacrifice, love for your fellow man, compassion, overcoming fear, humility, thankfulness. You don't always understand everything, because many of them says, why was I allowed to live and my buddy was not? One man said, I saw my friend's face just blown off and in tears. Why did God let me live? And those older men who I've never met in my life taught me. So older men at Living Hope Church, and we'll talk about this in a minute more. God has called you to be the rock. We need you. And we'll get more practical in just a minute. How about God's design for the older women? All right, older men, you can chill out now. Whew, you made it through. Get a cup of coffee. Get you a donut. No, don't, because Amanda's here. She'll say, don't you get a donut. Verses 3-5. Let's just read those real quick. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their awesome husbands and children. I did add the word awesome. To be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So what does Paul say that Titus is to teach the older women? All right, are you 60 or above? Are you knocking on the door of 60? Are you older than anybody? Then that's you, okay? Although this is talking about the aged, the older women. You are to be reverent in behavior. This word means sacred, befitting in conduct or deportment. Suited to a sacred character. You are to have a holy character. That doesn't mean that you walk in, you know, hi ma'am, you shall bow when you speak to me. No, godly in your character. Notice the next one. You are not to be slanderers. Have you noticed the older you get, the more irritable you get? I have. I mean, about me. Have you ever noticed that maybe older people can really sometimes just get mean? Nobody in our church. This word means to accuse, to defame, to malign, to criticize, to hurt others. A few months ago, I helped one of our ladies move, our older ladies move, who lived at that time in a high rise that's full of retired people. And you're not supposed to move on a Saturday, and that's the only day she could move. So she had another friend of the family help, and I helped, and it was a Saturday. And we didn't use the freight elevators, which you're only supposed to. It's raining outside, and this guy pulled up in this moving van right in front. And this older lady came out. I mean, her face just said, I am mean, I am the devil, and I will get you, you know. And I was scared, but I tried to pretend like I was tough. Come on, let's go. No, I didn't do that. And she is just bent out of shape. She is just, you are not supposed to move on a Saturday. You are not supposed to use these elevators. And the guy I was with was kind of a little more, I just kind of stayed in the background because I don't think it'd be good for me to get beat up by somebody who's 75 years old and a woman. Would not go good on Facebook. So, and then she said, I'm going to take a video and I'm going to take a picture. So she got out her camera. I was surprised, or her phone. I was surprised she knew how to use a cell phone. And she got it out. She's videotaping us. We're waving at her. Hi. Then she says, I'm calling the police. So the other guy said, well, just go ahead and call the police. She said, well, the buses aren't going to be able to go through there. And as soon as she said that, this bus went right by the moving van, plenty of room. And she, I mean, she is just, you know, and so I understood that she was the self-appointed Barney Fife of that apartment complex, is what I understood. And the police never came. I didn't have to spend the night in jail. Don't be slanderous. And I think as you get older, it's really easy to not be as patient as you used to be, you know, right? Is it? Do noises bother you more than they used to? Does loudness bother you more than it used to? Don't be slanderers. Don't be slaves to much wine. Don't be controlled or be brought under the submission of any outside substance. And notice this, older ladies. Paul specifically says, Titus, you teach the older ladies that they have a ministry just like the men. You are to teach the younger women. Verse 4. Train means to admonish, to help somebody to be balanced. Train the young women. And notice what you ladies are to train the young women to do. To love their husbands. Oh, boy. You thought I had it hard, right? This word train means you older ladies are to pass on to the younger ladies what has gripped your life and how you lived it out. You are to teach the younger ladies that special affection that you've been given for your lifetime mate. You teach the younger ladies how to love their awesome husband. And I often wonder, why was Paul telling Titus to narrow this down? Why did he say, teach the younger women to love their husbands? You know what my answer is? Because we're just rotten, right? Well, aren't men rotten? No amens. Men, we must be doing it. Paula, you just be quiet. But isn't that interesting how you teach these younger women, one of the first things to do is to love their husbands. Love their husbands. Because sometimes men can be hard to love, right? And we're going to get more practical here in just a minute. But notice also, he says here, you also teach older ladies, you teach the younger women to love their children. Love your children. Why did he say love your husband and love your children? You know what I think? You ready for this, older women and younger women? Because I believe your main ministry that God has given you is towards your husband and towards your kids. I think that's why he mentioned that. And that doesn't mean that you stay at home barefoot and pregnant making spaghetti all day or whatever you do, right? Doesn't mean that you're a wallflower. I mean, the Bible presents a woman as a very godly, industrious. Read Proverbs 31. That's not what he's talking about at all. But your main ministry, ladies, is towards your husband. And older women who have been through the fires, right? You've been through the hard times. You've been through the times when there's been no money. You've been through the times when love was hard. You need to keep your eyes open at these younger ladies in the church. And if you see any problems, you take them out to coffee or pie or whatever, and you teach them. Well, I can't do that, Pastor Tim. There's just no way I can do that. Well, then you're sinning and you're disobeying God. Well, that was pretty bold, wasn't it? But is it true? So what is Paul saying here to Titus? And to the older women and the younger women, you need each other, right? And again, I'm holding off some practical things just for a minute. Also, you're to teach them to be self-controlled. Teach the younger women to be self-controlled. Teach them, next in the verse, to be pure. Teach them to be workers at home. The Greek is keepers of the home. I don't think this necessarily means you can't work outside the home, but it does mean that God gives the ladies the primary responsibility of keeping the home, keeping in a sound and safe and a godly place for husbands and kids. A husband and kids. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Kids, plural, husband, singular. There you go. Well, I decided to change it and got a lot of husbands and one kid. So, no. Right? Yeah, all right. Yeah, true. The home, ladies, can be your special place where your husband comes home and your kids come home, and it ought to be a very safe place. You know, we get attacked at school, don't we, kids? We get attacked at work, don't we? We get attacked while we're out running. We get attacked at the grocery store. One place we ought to feel safe is when we come home, right? Older women, you need to teach the younger women And this is what you younger women are supposed to do. Be kind. Be good. Be good to your husband, to your kids, to others. Be submissive to your own husband. A lot of women don't like that verse because a lot of churches have taught wrong what that means. Submission does mean place yourself under your husband's leadership. Somebody, I thought this was really neat, described this like this. What does it mean to be submissive to your own husband? It's directed to husbands and women, wives. First of all, here's the question for men. Husband, do you love your wife enough to die for her? And to the wife, do you love your husband enough to live for him? And notice why Paul says this to Titus at the end of verse 5. Why are older women and younger women to do this? That the word of God may not be reviled. It's so that God's word has a great testimony, that people can see the power of God's word working, and the unbelieving world can see people that claim to know Jesus loving their husbands and loving their wives, and giving and sacrificing and forgiving and putting them first, and being godly and chaste and pure and dignified, and not being a bunch of old critics and always, you know, all we know of you is don't run. Now, I'm not advocating running in the church. You can run outside the church, but why? So that the world says, you know what, there's something different about that guy. He doesn't come to work on Monday and talk about all the women he had on the weekend. He loves his wife. I'll never forget hearing this, and I wish I could find this on tape somewhere. And let me get this straight in my head. A sports personality, it was a woman sports personality, was interviewing Joe Namath, who was considered what? The playboy of football years ago. Joe Namath and Roger Staubach. And Roger Staubach, I understand, I believe, is a believer, I think. And so the interviewer said, hey, Roger, and forgive me, I hope this isn't too bold, but Roger, I'm sure that Joe's life, the way he leads, he probably has a lot more sexual relations than you have. And Roger Staubach's answer was awesome. He said to her, no, he hasn't. The only difference is mine's with one woman. What an answer. Mine's just with one woman, not with many. I would love to find that interview on TV. What an awesome answer. And the whole world got to see, here's a guy that's different. He loves his wife. So when you go to work, when the girl walks by and all the other guys are going, vroom, 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 or whatever they do, that sounds like one of those whistles, vroom, 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 right? Or I can't do it. Whatever they do these days, do you join in and go, yeah, man, that's awesome, man? Or do you say, I love my wife? What? Now, let's just make some real quick practical applications. And by the way, someone said to me on your sermon notes there that the men only had this much and the women had this much. But that at the bottom is for both of us, all right? So, but that was funny. I got a kick. Let me just go through these. These are really practical. First of all, at any age, we are expected to obey in spite of our feelings and emotions. Click the button there, Zach. At any age, and hopefully we're going to get to some of the questions that you had, that the person had. You know, God has given us emotions, right? And they are a part of our life. They're a part of our spiritual life. But God never gave us emotions to guide us and be the foundation of our actions. Because what happens to emotions? Oh my goodness. They're up and down like a roller coaster, right? They change. The scriptures teach us that obeying is what is most important no matter how we feel. And it's awesome to have our heart filled with joy and excitement and passionate feelings towards God. But it is also beneficial to have our heart experience pain and suffering and sympathy and empathy for others. And that is far different than letting those rule our life. How many of you really feel like getting up and going to work every day? But what happens if you don't? We're taking a love offering for you, right? But why do you get up and go to work? Because you obey, right? That's really victory in the Christian life. So while emotions are awesome and they are needed, they are never given for us to say, if I don't feel it, I can't obey. If I don't feel like I have the first excitement when I was saved, I can't obey. How many of you as a married couple have those still butterfly feelings every day that you first had when you met your future wife? Now, they come time and or every now and then, right? Or maybe a lot, but you just don't. When you sat in a room, you were right next to them, right? After a while, you know, you're in the living room watching TV and you're in a lazy boy and she's over on the couch. That's because you have kids around, right? Stinking kids. But I think we would admit that maybe the warm fuzzies, they kind of go. But let me ask you this. As you have been with your husband or wife over the years, have you noticed what you didn't know what love was when you first started? And now you do? Now you're sitting in the hospital with them. Now you know what love is, right? Not back when, oh my goodness, she touched my hand. She touched my hand. Right? Remember those days? She's sitting next to me. She's sitting next to me. Oh, goodness, goodness, goodness. I just hope I can sing praise the Lord right now. Praise the Lord. Right? Those kind of go away. They come back from time to time. But as you grow, those feelings change and you begin to realize, I had no idea what love was back then. But now this is love. The miscarriage. The deaths in the family. The struggles with your children. When hair falls out. When hair turns gray. Don't live by your feelings or emotions at any age. There will be multiple times when you don't feel like doing right. Right? But a spiritually mature heart obeys in spite of feelings. Remember when Jesus was in the garden praying? What did he pray? Let this cup pass from me. This cup of carrying the wrath. Now he obeyed. Isn't that interesting? Jesus obeyed without fluttery emotions, did he not? Well, I can't obey Jesus if I'm not feeling this, oh, wow, glorious. No, Jesus obeyed when he said, God, keep me from the cross, but not my will, but yours. And then Hebrews says, for the joy that was set, what? Before him, he endured the cross. Jesus obeyed his Father, and he was not going to the cross with whatever fluttery feelings. At any age, we are expected to obey. No matter what we are feeling. You know, last week we talked about the wrath of God. And in our community groups we had a question about, do we sense a burden? Which a burden is great for the lost because it does kind of remind us to share Christ. But do you know that we do not have to feel a burden for the lost to be obedient and share Christ? We do not have to feel this burning, which is awesome to have that. But you can share Jesus when you don't feel like it. That's obedience. Now, is it possible to lose our first love like Revelation 2? Yes. It is possible to begin doing things because it's mechanical, to begin doing things because that's what we do on Sunday, that's what we do on Monday. I fight it, you fight it, we all fight it. So what if I do sense like I've lost my first love of Jesus and the saints? Well, repent. Ask God to forgive you. If there's something you're loving more, get rid of it. Confess it and repent. Second thing, at any age, we are expected to be a disciple of Jesus. A disciple, a follower of Jesus. Now listen, if you're older today, and you know, have you noticed even if you're 40, you're older? You're not 18 anymore? You may not be able to do what you did when you were younger, right? Physically, you just can't do it anymore, right? You just can't do it. And you may be even having struggles with your mind, right? I just forgot what I was getting ready to say. No, I'm kidding. And does that not cause frustration? Hey, I've experienced that in my life lately. I'm thinking of a word, and I don't know what, the word's not coming out. I can look at some of you, known you for years, can't think of your name. Hello, mister. Isn't that weird? Just go whoop, blank. I'm getting old. And we call it in our culture what? A senior moment. It was like 3 years ago, I walked into a Golden Corral on Senior Citizen Day, and the lady gave me a discount. I think I was still in my 40s. I wasn't too happy. So I sat down, looked at my bill. Why is it cheaper? Oh, I got the senior discount. Well, I was looking around. Everybody in the whole restaurant was like gray hair. So I was so ticked off, I got the waitress. Hey, you gave me a discount. You shouldn't have given it to me because I'm not a senior on the discount. She said, well, go ahead and keep it anyway. I said, okay. There is no age where God says, okay, you're exempt from being my disciple. Because the younger men and the younger women need you to share with them and to teach them. So I thought of a couple of things here. First of all, for us younger ones, or you younger ones, if the older ones are getting to the point where they can't do it all, us younger ones got to step it up, right? Right? We've got to be busy in the work, right? Yes, Brother Tim, I wholeheartedly agree. We cannot expect the older saints to do what they cannot do, and they do not need to feel guilty what they cannot do. So us younger ones have got to step it up and serve and work and use the energy of youth so that one day when we can get older and share with the younger ones and let them do the busy work, the important good work. How about for you older saints today? You've got to understand that you are a vital part of this church. You know, I love older people. I just think they're the neatest things. Things? I'm sorry, that didn't sound good. You know, I want one on my shelf in my office. So if you don't have anything to do this week, come over and I'll just put you, you just sit there. All right. Somebody comes in for counseling. Hey, how you like my old person? He looks good. You are a vital part of the church ministry. The younger ones need you. The younger ones need to hear from you in love. The younger ones need your wisdom, your counsel, your encouragement. Now listen to this. The younger ones need to hear your life story. Do you have one? Sure you do. You may not be able to remember it, but we need to hear it. Right? We need to hear your life story. My aunt sends me notes about every week. And sometimes it's some spiritual things God has shown her, or sometimes it's just some family things that she remembers. And I love reading them and hearing the family stories and just all kinds of different things. We need to hear that stuff. Invite a younger couple or two over and just say, sit down, I'm going to tell you my life. Well, I wouldn't do it that way. Try to weave it in somehow. I want to hear how you made it through the Depression if you were that old. I want to hear what it was like when you were a kid. I want to hear what it was like when you went to school. I want to hear what it was like to go through your struggles. I want to hear what it was like when you didn't have any food or any money. I want to hear what it was like to go to church when you were younger, or what it was like when the war was going on. Because, you know, there's been a couple of wars in my lifetime, but not like, you know, Korea and World War II or Vietnam. I want to know what it was like to trust God when you were growing up. I think also, older folks, you need to step out of your comfort zone, right? And as God leads, open up your life to a young man. If you notice a young man struggling, you do not have to call me and ask permission to minister to them. Go minister to them. Take them out for coffee. Have your wife bake an apple pie. Invite them over one night and just say, you know what, on Sunday you look like you were struggling. Can I help you? And if they don't let you help them, you've done what God has said for you to do. Older ladies, teach the younger women. Invite them over. Do something. Take them bowling.
Yeah. They do have bowling leagues for the elderly, all right? I think you roll the ball down that little metal thing. No, that's, I'm sorry. Do you realize that you, as an older person, can have just as vital ministry as I do behind this pulpit? You really can. Just by sharing your life and how God helped you in some of the most difficult things. Let me hasten on here. The next points after I finish this one are really shorter. So, but I was thinking of this in relation to what we're talking about. In this point, that we are never, we're always expected to be a disciple. I think sometimes we forget to challenge ourselves. And we lose a little bit of the thrill. I mean, if all I ever learned to play, and I should have practiced this, Mary Had a Little Lamb. I just might make a fool of myself right here. What notes to start on, Megan? Now, if all I ever learned was that, like a fifth grader, right? Wouldn't that be horrible? So for 35 years, that's all I play. So in the bulletin, special music today, Pastor Tim. And you go, oh, no, here's Mary Had a Little Lamb once again. You know? Wouldn't that be boring? But what about... You know, add some fancy stuff to it. And I think a lot of times we don't dig into our deep God. And we sense that initial changing of our hearts and we lose the excitement because we don't dig into this great God and we just stop at the basics. Go on. Challenge yourself. Challenge yourself. Now, moving quickly. Thirdly, these will be fast. At any age, we are expected to have a thankful heart. Look at verse 11 of chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. God's grace entered your life. No matter what age, be thankful. Be thankful for this grace and be thankful that you can share this grace with others. You are saved. You may be 85 or 95 or 6,005, but you're saved. And rejoice. Don't get discouraged that you can't do what you used to do. Rejoice that you can do what God has called you to do at an older age. Fourthly, at any age, you're expected to live godly. Verse 12 of chapter 2. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives today. At any age, you're expected to be godly, not crotchety critics and nobody drives right, nobody sings right, nobody goes to restaurants right, and nobody dresses right, and nobody, is your life characterized like that? It's just that always nobody does this, nobody does this, nobody does this, nobody does this. And you go to bed, oh God, thank you that I can rejoice today. Right? I can see myself starting to do that. Are you, be honest, can you see yourself doing that? Live godly, joyful lives in this present age, verse 12. I think godly older men and women are a precious jewel. They need to be appreciated. You may not be able to go to Africa on a mission trip or sit in the nursery or help in a Bible school while you're up here doing the little singing like we did. You can do what you can do, though. You can be godly. Fifthly, at any age, you are expected to look for your hope. Verse 13. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing in the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as you get older, and as the arthritis kicks in, and as your eyesight goes, what does Paul tell Timothy to train you to do? Wait for Jesus. You're not going to be old forever, right? Amen, Brother Tim, we're not going to be old forever. When I was much, 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 much younger, I went on visitation, and I visited an older lady in the church. Her name was Mrs. Jones. She was 276 years old. We propped her up with wood. And she was sick. And I remember going to her house and knocking on the door and And I can't remember if she let us in or not. And I knew she was sick and really sick. And one of the most godly things ever came out of my mouth. Isn't it great to know you're going to die soon and be with Jesus? And the person with me looked at me and went, "What did you just say?" And the minute it came out of my mouth, I thought, "Stupid, dummy, stupid. Don't go up to people and go, 'You're going to die. You're blessed.' Oh, no." Oh, goodness. At least I was trying. But isn't this a great verse? Guess what, older folks? Maybe younger folks, right? You're going to die soon. But look what we have coming. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Sixthly, at any age you're expected to live as his possession. Verse 14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. It's amazing how many times Titus talks about good works in his book. They don't save, but saved people do good works. You know, at any age, you need to remember that you're his possession. You may not be able again to do what you used to be able to do. You may not be able to turn flips and play with the kids. And you need to remember that you're his treasured possession as a believer in Jesus. And at any age, it says here, you are to be zealous for good works. You know what the word zealous means? Fired up, as in our question. Not necessarily emotionally, but in obedience. An eager obedience because you love your Jesus who saved you, who is coming back for you, and who gave you a ministry even if you're 85 or 90 years old or 65 or whatever. You are God's treasured possession. I used to visit an older lady years ago in a church, and she couldn't come to church. And you know what her joy was in her life? She got to go to the doctor. That's what she looked forward to. She called her doctors by their first name, which is okay, I guess. But when you listen to her, it was like, it was a highlight of her week. Yeah, I'm going to go visit John this week, and John this, and John that. Her doctor was John Palchev. John this, and John that, and John. Yeah, and John was telling me that, you know. And it was like, it was just the joy of her life. I get to go to the doctor this week because he cares about me and he talks to me. Listen, as you get older, be careful that you don't make your possession something stupid. And to remember that you are God's treasured possession. He's got his arms around you. Even when you have the pain of arthritis, even when fatigue is slowing you down, that limp hinders you. Your brain's not firing on all cylinders. As people say, you're a couple fries short of a happy meal or whatever it is. Your memory may be fading. You struggle a little bit more with loud music and loud sounds and with children running around. You have to get up several times in the service to go to the restroom. And that's because I preach so long, right? Your eyesight may be getting blurry. But don't ever forget, you never cease to be God's treasured possession. And you're valuable to him. And you will always be his treasured possession. And I love this. Now, are you listening, older people? Are you really getting this? He's not through with you. He is not through with you. You're a vital part of his church. He's not through with you. In fact, he won't be through with you till he takes you home. And if you're a saved believer, and you are sitting in a nursing home, that's all you can do. He is not through with you. Phyllis Ryder used to minister in the nursing home. And I'd always tell her, "God's not through with you, is he?" She'd say, "No, he's not." And she'd try to encourage people, even in all her struggles. All right, well, let's land the plane. You know, our spiritual evaluation of ourselves should never stop, no matter how old we get. You should always be evaluating yourself. 60, 65, 70, you should always be checking yourself. Am I growing? Am I confessing sin? Am I tenderhearted? Have I lost my first love? And pray accordingly. We have to constantly evaluate if we're going through the motions, whether we're 25 or 95.
We have to constantly evaluate if we truly are being disciples of Jesus, whether we're 25 or 95. And we have to understand that if you're here today, no matter what age you are, you're a vital part of Jesus' church. I love seeing our older folks minister. I really do. It's a blessing to my heart. I thought of this little line, which I think I have up here, of a song we sing. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. What a great motto at any age. He's coming back. Or maybe I just get so old I finally just keel over, right? But until that day, whether the trumpet sounds and Mary's little lamb comes back for us, right? Until that sounds, or I die, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand in the power of Christ and do what Titus 2 says and be an active, treasured possession of my Lord and Savior, ministering to the younger men, to the younger women, because I am a valued possession in the sight of my Savior, even though I cannot do what I could do when I was 15, 20, 25, 30. But I am just as important today as I was back then. Until that day, as John put it, he said, come, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for what an amazing chapter. I'm thankful that you're never done with us. And I pray, God, for our congregation, I pray for our older men and older women, that you would challenge them and thrill them with these truths today, that they are your treasured possession. And you love them, and you have called them to have a specific ministry. Give them the courage and boldness to get out of their comfort zone, to do something maybe they didn't even know was their calling from you, to realize that they're just as important as I am, to share and teach struggling, hurting young couples and young men and young women. Father, may our young men and young women and young couples be receptive of the ministry of those who are older. Father, your plan for your church is amazing. We mess it up. It's just so simple. We look forward to you coming back for us, Jesus. And when there is no more arthritis and no more death and no more sorrow and no more pain, all because of Jesus' death on Calvary's cross, who redeemed us to be that special treasured possession. So Lord, move on our hearts. And if there are some here today who are younger, and you've challenged them today, I've got to serve where the older ones have paved the way. Raise them up to serve. If there are older ones today who have thought, I'm just on the shelf because I can't do what I used to do, may their heart be thrilled with the vital ministry of passing on wisdom to younger ones can be. And if there's anyone here today that has not got Jesus as their Savior, they've not been redeemed, may you give them the ability to believe, open their eyes today, remove Satan's blinders, and give them life in Jesus' name.